Dear wonderful listeners, are you ready to take your beauty business to the next level, but not sure where to start? We get it, defining your brand story and tone of voice can feel like a huge challenge, but that's exactly why we're here to help. At Smart Beauty Creative, we're offering a 90-minute deep dive into your brand that will give you clear, actionable takeaways to help you grow and scale. This session isn't just a chat, it's an invaluable opportunity to gain clarity on your messaging and strategy, ensuring you get noticed by customers, retailers, investors, and the media. And here's the best part, the cost of your deep dive is redeemable against any larger project you undertake with us, so you get all of that insight and value with minimal risk. We're looking for a few new clients who are ready to see amazing results. So if you're looking to grow and scale, struggling to define your brand story and voice, and unsure where to start, then this session is for you. Just email hello@smartbeautycreative.com and we'll send you all the details. Hello and welcome to the Smart Beauty Podcast. I'm your host, Viola Levy, beauty journalist and founder of copy-led branding agency, Smart Beauty Creative. We're here to create your brand voice and craft the story behind it. Today, I'm thrilled to be joined by Agnès Cazin, the visionary force behind branding and communications agency, Haiti 73, and the brains behind the inaugural Buzz of Beauty Festival. Agnès has dedicated her career to connecting Black consumers with global beauty and fashion brands, from L'Oreal and Unilever to Puig and Cantu. Her journey in the industry began in London in the late 90s, where she worked at creative agency Weber Represent, producing everything from fashion shows to music videos. Since then, she's built a reputation as a true leader in branding and communications. In this conversation, Agnès shares her inspiring journey and the motivation behind creating the Buzz of Beauty Festival, a space where Black beauty entrepreneurs can connect, learn, and thrive. We'll explore the challenges of breaking into the beauty industry, the education needed for success, and how Agnès is helping to create opportunities for the next generation of beauty moguls. So whether you're a founder or an aspiring entrepreneur, or simply just passionate about beauty, this episode is packed with valuable insights. Let's dive in. So Agnès, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. It would be great to hear what first inspired you to create the Buzz of Beauty Festival, and how does it reflect your vision for the beauty industry?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for having me on your, pleasure. On your podcast and taking the time, Viola. You know, it's very very much appreciated, the fact that you take interest in my career. 100%. So the Buzz of Beauty came from my diverse experience in the world of fashion and beauty, and the experience as vendors, because sometimes I'm a vendor, because I'm a brand, sometimes I'm a consumer, because I'm someone from the industry, so you get invited. And sometimes when I'm just like a passionate, regular consumer, I have another experience. And it's completely inconsistent. So if I'm a VIP somewhere, Paris Fashion Week, it's amazing. If I'm a vendor, it's stress. Yeah. And if I'm the final consumer, sometimes it's a bit mid. You know, sometimes it's a bit mediocre. Sometimes it's not really that. And then I have to say, in England, events are top-notch. And now with a lot of things, it's just that the vibe of it, the way they are being produced as well, there is an understanding of what's the minimum that nobody would go below, you know? And I have to say, yes, the French event pissed me off because, you know, because often, and I'm talking about the Black event, yeah? Often they're not up to the level. They are not, and the experience is not there. So I was like, for years, I was fuming. And it's my son was like, stop bitching. Do. If you're not happy, change it.
Otherwise, do it yourself.
Well, yeah, we don't want to hear it. We know. Go in a corner, sulk, think about it, come up with something. And I was, yes, I'm going to do my idol festival. So my idol festival was a place where you have amazing brand, lovely brand, cutesy brand, but also good brand with fantastic professional showcasing something like where they are very good at their craft and they know a lot and they are extremely passionate. So I knew that it would be something curated based on the personality, based on the talent. And also, I was like, people need education. Brand founder need education because if we want brand to be there in 10, 15, 30 years around, we need to cut this gatekeeping, which is ridiculous.
Yeah. What particular things do they need educating? Like, what are
They
the
need
solutions?
educating on wholesale, on prices, on marketing strategies, on everything, because those people have not been working in beauty before.
No.
You know, they need education on copywriting. They need education on what is a copywriter. I had a client, bless her soul, she was lovely, but it didn't end up well. And I'm also doing it for her because
Yeah.
by the time she came to me, she should have gone to my festival first, which is kind of the antechamber, giving you the base ground of someone that's thinking of being an entrepreneur, that is an entrepreneur and wants to do better. And I know, and after I was a bit pissed off because, you know, we didn't end up in good terms, but I knew why. She said to me, "Oh yeah, you want me to talk to your accountant? You want me to talk to your accountant because you're too lazy to do your to do my my invoices." I said, "No, it's because my accountant does my invoices for me."
Yeah.
And her response was, "Since when does accountant do invoices?" And I'm like, "Education, do you
Yeah.
know?" Education. It's all ground down to education. And like, do you know what? Yeah, we're gonna have to because you don't understand what you're asking me. So you know, initially I was a bit pissed off, and then I took a step back and I said, no, I can't be pissed off at her because she has been in a 9-to-5 job all her life where she get a paycheck. She doesn't have a clue what is an accountant. She doesn't know what they do. She knows HR. And I'm like, so my event is like for those kind of women, for those women who are brave enough to put all their saving into a product that they believe. But let's face it, they don't know nothing about the back office, nothing about the marketing. And I
Which,
really want to help them with that so they can progress, exist, and launch to market.
yeah, there are so many moving parts for the business, isn't there? It's like, where do you even start? There's just so much to learn that it can be, I think, very overwhelming. I mean, even with what I do at Smart Beauty, we now do a consultancy session before I start any project with any client. We have this consultancy where I go through, get under the hood of their business and say, okay, this is what you need. Not just a tagline or a blog post, like you need X, Y, and Z, because like you say, there's that education piece that people don't know what they don't know.
They don't know what they don't know. They don't know what they need. They know what they want,
For
but they
sure.
don't understand the cost of what they want. So you have clients, oh, it's the same client. She was like, I want to do crème de la mer. I want a high luxury. That's what I want. We said, okay. I mean, like, you know, it's your brand. You do whatever you want. And when we presented her with the 15K merch, because that's what it cost her. That's really expensive. I said, no, that's not really expensive. You asked for crème de la mer.
Exactly. And then the return that you're going to see on that investment, the potential returns are
The
going to
potential
pay
return that you're going to
dividends.
see on that, but she's not actually because she doesn't know how to sell things like crème de la mer. So you want a product that looks like and costs like crème de la mer, but you can only sell it like Jenny at the marketplace. So yes, it's not going to work.
No, exactly. And this is what the Buzz of Beauty kind of helps people
Yes.
with.
And to understand that what you want, what you have, what now, and also it takes time. So you can have the crème de la mer maybe in 5 years down the road. Learn your craft. Learn to sell beauty first, maybe. Or maybe even start with a white label product. So you can learn all the process, create the process. Do you know what I mean? Like, and then when you really want to launch the big guns and the big baby, you have made all your trials and error and you understand the industry and then you can go and run, and maybe you have a team by that time.
Yeah, you've learned from your mistakes because it can be very costly. Like it's such a huge financial risk launching a business. Like every mistake costs money.
Absolutely.
It's
Do you
good
know?
to get that education, as much education as you can before you take that leap.
Network with other successful founder. Ask them question. Look at your process. You know, it's like we all make mistakes. I make mistake, and I've been doing it for like God knows how many years. Because every time you're learning new stuff, but there is something where you kind of know what you're doing more or less. You can, if you want to quote for something, I can gauge quickly how much it's gonna cost because I've done something similar before, so I've got a rough idea of time. Of team sizes. And I think that when you want to be a founder in kind of anything, give yourself grace. Don't start with putting all your saving into one project and then blow it all off and then you're left with nothing.
It's romantic, that idea of like, oh, I'm just going to go for it and just going to take that leap. But actually, you can kind of take calculated risks. It doesn't need to be all or nothing.
Exactly. And also, it's like you, if you want to be crème de la mer, you have to understand that they don't have the same story as you.
No, and also there already is crème de la mer, so there's not like they don't need a duplicate, as it were.
Exactly.
They've cornered that market.
Exactly. So and everything is gradual and everything is like there's a lot of trial error and it's okay to fail.
100%.
Because that's where you learn.
And with Black beauty entrepreneurs in particular, did you think it was important to have a space for them to
Yes. I think for Black beauty entrepreneur, it's even more important because socially, politically, economically, we've been put aside for like generation and generation and generation. So where a 50 years old woman, a white 50 years old woman had access to universities easy, had access to generational wealth, which is not like having million in a bank account, but maybe your godmother leaving you 5K here, maybe a grandmother giving you something that you can pass from one generation to another generation. Even if it's 2K, it is something passing on into someone, having access to better job because of better education. It does has an effect on our capacity to be able to turn around and say, Uncle, Auntie, what do you know? Nothing, because we are not in that. And it's already a gate kept industry, even for white people.
A lot of gatekeeping.
There's a lot of gate people for what, so it doesn't even matter. So when you are at the intersection of a lot of political, economically, and social injustice that did not want it to see you there or anywhere, but only on the, oh yeah, services, retail, cleaning, garage, all that, As long as you serve, we are perfectly happy to see you there. But doing something for yourself in industry that are extremely hush hush, how do they get to know what they need to know to strive?
Exactly.
So yes, I was like, you know what? Damn it, I'm gonna do it because I know a lot of things because I've been extremely privileged to be a token. Let's be honest, I was a token for many, many years, and that allowed me to be in amazing rooms with amazing people who were very open-minded. And not only they put me in those rooms, but they taught me things as well. They showed me things as well. They let me try and experiment things, and I've been very happy. And I'm just like, imagine if everybody could have the same access to those people that I have.
For sure.
How much more clever would we be?
And I was going to ask you, like you've got your background, you've worked for some of the biggest brands like L'Oreal, Say No More, and like Cantu. I mean, what were the biggest, and like Unilever, what were the biggest branding lessons you've learned that these founders can then apply to their own businesses? What are the key kind of things that you
I'm
would?
going to tell you the biggest brand that I've worked and I always give it as a reference is ORS. Namaste. It was amazing because it was a black team led by Tanika, a lady called Tanika. She gave us education on trichology, on braiding, on lace making, so we could really understand the product. We were the activation team, and she gave us a lot of freedom on expressing ourselves and doing the event. And that was really the first. They are the one that pulled me in and said, "We want to work with you because we like your work ethic." And I was like, "No, okay, sure." And I was just working in fashion, and I was like working in fashion and celebrities, brand management, and I was like, sounds fine with me, cool. And then I think the first time I worked with Beauty was 15 years ago with L'Oréal for the launch of Diesel booking brand, and then I got into that, and then they took me on
Wow.
more things, and then so it's pretty much what it's brand agencies, it's PR, it's ad agencies, it's all of that structure. And then when I went with Namaste, who was an Asian group, it's like they are the equivalent of Unilever, but in India.
Yeah.
They don't have a PR agency. They do not have an ad agency. And still, they are making a huge order weekly. So I had to relearn what I knew from fashion and beauty mainstream to see that actually you don't need to do it like L'Oréal to succeed.
No.
So that's what was interesting, because their overhead was much more smaller. But what they had an extremely good understanding of the community that they were serving. They understand where we like to eat. They understand the movie that we liked. They were listening to what we were saying. So wherever you would say, they would pull up the product at the next season. Oh, you want a glue like that? Okay, let's do that. Oh, you don't want that no more? Okay, so do you want this? Okay, so let's do
They
this.
were listening. They were listening to
They
their
were listening hard. And this is why they would always have the right product for the right people, because they would listen hard. They would really, really listen hard. And as much as controlling as they can be, because it's their brand, we were also being given a lot of freedom on how to express ourselves. And another thing, we were able to be ourselves within our blackness. We didn't have mental illness because we didn't have to pretend not to be black in a boardroom. We were 15 black women being very black, with very long nails, with grills, with diamonds, with big hair, with small hair, with wig, with natural hair.
Didn't have to code switch.
We didn't have to code switch once again. And they did not wanted us to code switch either, to make it palatable for them to be working with us. So there is that. So that was like the most free, that was the best experience and the most freer. Now, when you work with companies like L'Oreal, Unilever, PDC brand, etc., it's very different, because those brands have the same system as the big corporation. It's very interesting how they work, because they do have a lot of money, but they are still struggling. PDC brand, I have to say, whoever is behind the sales and the merchandising at retail store, they are the best in Europe. They are the best in Europe. And that's really was part of their success, because you would go to any shop and come to would look cute all the time. The cute all the time. Product on perfect, not no dust, no product who were there since 2009. Everything was perfect. So in terms of their shelving, wow. And they did get the product everywhere. What you can't escape, can't you? But I think that there's other thing that they haven't taken into account, but their merchandising, the way it was uniformed. And it is very important because that's how you do sales. That's how you can sell, because you trust the brand that looks the best. If your brand on a shelf looks crazy
Yeah.
or half empty rails, you're not gonna, no, it's gonna look weird. So you're just not gonna go there. And on that, they were really, they were very, very excellent. But L'Oréal also, they are actually very good because they understood the black market way before everybody, like 20
L'Oréal
years.
did.
Yeah, they are the most black brand ever. And they've always had it. Always. 25 years ago, 30 years ago, they already had that. I think with L'Oréal, it's not that they don't know how to develop black brand. It's a matter of regions. France, not so good. America, brilliant. The UK, amazing. South Africa, incredible. France, not so good. But
So what are
it
they doing that the other brands aren't?
they're just not acknowledging the community, and they don't understand the community. And because they don't understand the community, it's a little bit of it's a little bit of what they fear and how they represent black people in their own minds, and they are projecting that.
And that's something I guess that black entrepreneurs have going for them because they clearly, they know their market, they understand their community, and they're that authentic representation of that. So their customers are immediately going to buy into them. Would you say that's correct?
But absolutely, because, and that's why I always say too, I mean, there is advantage to be at L'Oréal when you're a brand, because I mean, it's a big company. The products are well tested. You can find them anywhere. They are reasonably priced, etc., etc. Small entrepreneur, I always compare themselves down. Like, oh yeah, but, and I'm like, but actually, you don't understand, because they're looking at you like, what are they doing? What? How do they do it? For inspiration, and you're looking at them thinking, oh, they're big, they're gonna eat me. But when you're a small entrepreneur, you can move faster, you can make
Exactly.
decisions faster, you can change your look. Nobody care, because your community, they still understand it's new. They're gonna run that with you.
Yeah, you can be
You
more
have,
dynamic.
you actually do have a community, and you do not have clients. You have a community. Which mean that if you're a L'Oreal, yes, you're gonna be making a lot of money, but people are gonna compare price. If you're a small independent brand, I don't care the price, I want that brand.
Because you're buying into them.
I'm
You're
buying into them. And
buying.
the problem with the bigger group, you're buying, like, you think you're buying different brand, but you're all buying one brand really. It's the L'Oréal group or the Unilever. And therefore, you're not buying someone that you know. And also, you have to understand that every time a brand is being brought, there is something happening. The product, the ingredients are being changed or something. And that's how people are perceiving it as well. So there's distrust. And I think that when you're a small brand, this is really where you can tackle that as well.
I was going to say, because we were talking about there's a lot of elitism in the industry and a lot of gatekeeping. What would your advice be to entrepreneurs on how to navigate that from your experience of being the only
Listen,
black person in the room at L'Oréal, for example, and being the kind of
I will tell you something. Sometimes you think that there's a lot of gatekeeping because someone knows more than you, but often when there's a lot of gatekeeping, it's because they know less and they're trying to hide it. Happened to me so many
Mic
times.
drop.
I was just like, wow, what is she doing? Wow, what is she doing? They're gonna, oh, I'm not gonna show you. Please show me how to do the invoice. Show me how to do the invoice. I'm like, what is that? Is that what you're gatekeeping from me? It is that, and you're disappointed because you think it's something magical. It's not. So put some money aside and pay a consultant to show you. Train. Because trust me, people that gatekeep usually are not the one that know the most, but they just don't want you to know that.
No, it's kind of a scarcity mindset. It's that fear mentality where they don't want you to take what they've got and do a better job than them.
Exactly. So don't be scared.
Yeah, because I think a
Don't
lot
be
of
scared.
founders are compelled to be brand ambassadors, and not everyone wants to be front
No,
facing, do they? Not
no.
everyone wants to be an influencer. They just want
Exactly.
to run their
Exactly.
business.
But this is also why you need to, if you can't afford to have a team, you can afford to be full. And this is where people think, oh, I'm going to start my brand in a year and a half. I have a product. You have a product, you don't have a brand in a year and a half. And then when you have that product, you need to sell it. Are you a sales director? Nah. Are you a marketing director? Nah. Are you a copywriter? Absolutely not. Are you a PR agency? Nah, let me think. No, you're not. Are you an influencer? Well, that you could be, but you don't want to be that. Are you? No, they're not. So to launch a brand, it will take you 3 to 4 years because you need to do all the work beforehand. Have your branding, have your thought in place, learn how to do this, learn how to do that.
Get
And
your
when you're doing
right.
the product, train yourself at doing other things. So, in the line of all the things that you need, learn to understand a little bit of each of them. And then you'll see, do you still want to have a brand at the end of all of that? Because that's actually what it takes.
We're almost at the end of our time. What I was going to ask you is, when you look back on your career and you look at sort of like the person that you were when you first started out, is there any advice you would give that person that you sort of learned along the way that you would sort of go back and tell them?
Go with the flow. Go with the. Can I swear here? Go with the fucking flow. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have a clue. I'd be lying. It's not true. I don't. When I started the agency out, it was for photographer as a pay-as-you-go photographic agent. 16 years down the line, I'm putting a festival together. Don't have a fucking clue. So my. Sometime you need to give grace to the time and you need to give space to the time to operate the magic.
Yeah, because you can't control everything. You don't
You
know.
cannot control everything. I cannot control financial crashes. What am I going to do? I'm going to hold to my business because that's what I wanted. That was my vision. No, I've morphed into something else. And I've been always extremely lucky. I never really had to look too far because there's one thing, go with the flow, but whatever flow you're going to pick, make sure that anything you do in terms of your execution is at the top. Let them criticize your personality, which is absolutely fine. I don't care. Because at the end of the day, you know what you're doing, how you're doing it, and why you're doing it.
For
And it
sure.
shows into how you're producing the thing. Because often people that criticize you can't do better than you.
No, exactly. It comes from a place of fear, like we were saying.
Petrified. So no matter what you're doing, whether there's money or whether there's no money, always do it to the best of your ability because this will open, your work ethic will always open the door to something.
100%.
And it will take you to the next door and make sure that the right people see it. So network with people, and networking with people doesn't mean network with people who are above you all the time. That is also a lot of bullshit. People above don't want you. They're not interested because you can't help them. You don't have the strength, you don't have the self-confidence, you don't have the network that can help them. You can't help them. And people above also need help.
People that you're coming up with that you
People
really
you're coming up with are here.
that you can collaborate with, like how can
You
we
can
help each other?
collaborate.
How can we lift each other up?
Exactly. And I think also one of the problem of this generation, they think collaboration is abuse. They associate it a little bit with that. And they don't know how to collaborate. And that's a shame. Now, in the UK, I find the female in the beauty community, they are just adorable. They just like, I absolutely adore them because they are so nice.
A lovely bunch, I have to say.
I have to say, my God, we need to infuse that to Europe because, I mean, I went to the Tressley Award. What? Everybody stunning, everybody lovely, everybody nice, everybody talented, everybody with a business. What?
That's the
Yeah,
thing.
incredible. That was just like, that's the mood we want. So I would say my career, wouldn't advise it to anyone because that was a different time. Go with the flow, but it's more, I never thought I had a career because everything I had, I kind of had it by mistake. Do you know? So I've never calculated, but there's one thing that I know. My work was never a mistake. My work ethic, my execution, whether I have half a million or 20K, I'm trying to make sure that you don't see the difference and that it looks good at all time. And people, also people emotion, like people give you so much grace that, you know what, you're coming up or it's your first edition. But I feel so good because it's not just, you can go to some dinners, beautiful restaurant, beautiful places. The atmosphere is so dull.
Oh my gosh, I was at dinner last night and I actually walked out, and I've never done that in like the 18 years, but like you say, the crowd was so dry. It's like I just don't want to be here. It's
And you
nice
don't want to
to be
be there.
invited. I just don't want to be around people that are not my people. I value my time too much at this grand old age that I'm at now, where I just don't want to be around people
And
that.
you don't want to be there. And then you're gonna go to a dinner. They do their maximum, they're trying, but it's so lovely. It makes you feel so good. It doesn't matter.
The people make it what it is. It's the crowd
And
that.
people, and sometimes I think that a little bit less on the merch, a little bit more on the people. And
100%.
that's also because I'm 50, and in my days, if you were going out, we knew that you had to mix up people. A little bit of fruit girl, a little bit of bad boys, a little bit of posh girl, a little bit of people with money, a little bit of broke people who have fun, a little good DJ. You had to mix the crowd, and a little bit of the stylish girl, a little bit of the stylish girl, some cuties, some cute girls, some cute guys, and you have this kind of
Nice
mix of
mix.
people that makes it like, yeah, because everybody's interesting. And now it's sometimes it's a little bit like, okay, calibers. Are they all like 6 foot? Under 6 foot, we don't want them. And
There's a hierarchy.
yeah, hierarchy, the looks, the 6 foot, the this, the that. And people look, forget about people. And I think that when I do my thing, because I'm a child from the 70s, I'm very much about the people. And people actually have very good time. You know, and that's what you want. You want a good time, people. And then you always have to remember the party is when you step in, no matter where the party is. So the party can be in toilets, can be in a bus stop, can be in a shop, because that's how we use, when you've been refused club after club after club, you don't go, oh, I'm going to go in that club and get, you're like, you know what? I'm going to be the party. Wherever I'm going to be at,
100%. That's it. It's like, I don't want a
I'm
seat
going to
at the
be the party.
table. I'm going to build my own table. I don't need a seat at
Exactly.
your table.
Exactly. And then you're going to see, because of the limit I'm going to leave, your party is not going to be a party anymore because we aren't here no more. So I think this is how I see myself and how I see my career. I look at all of that and I'm just like that a little bit, because I don't even know where I'm going to be in 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years. But I see my work life more as a journey than a career.
And that's so
Because
true, isn't it? It's like you don't know kind of where you're going to end up, but
you don't.
it's a fun ride, and you
Yeah.
get to where you need to go ultimately.
Absolutely. I mean, who could have planned COVID?
Oh, for sure. For sure.
And I was just lucky. During COVID, I wasn't in fashion. I was in beauty. Perfect.
But no
Because
one hands you like a roadmap at the beginning of your career and said, right, this is the trajectory. It all just kind of. For
and sometimes you have to go with the flow, but
sure.
you need to make sure that people know what you're doing. The right people, not everybody, but the right people knows what you're doing. I think for me, that's what's important, because if you do your things well, at some point, the right people will see that. And if you can foster trust with your people, that's all you need to do, really.
100%. I couldn't agree more. And the Buzzer Beauty Festival, that's the 29th to the 30th of
Of
March
March. Yes.
at the African Centre.
Yes, in
I'll
South
include all the details in the show notes. Agnes, thank you so much for speaking with me and can't wait to see you at the festival. And I'm sure it will be amazing. And
No, it will be. I say it will be where it will be, but it's looking good.
it'll be awesome.
It's looking good. Have a
It'll
lovely day, my darling.
I hope you enjoyed that episode. All links will be in the show notes and feel free to visit smartbeautycreative.com or visit us over on Instagram to find out more about what we do. And if you enjoyed listening, please don't forget to rate and review Smart Beauty on iTunes as it helps people find us. See you next time.